T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tab with you. Kramer in for Nick Short today. Although, Kramer, I'm not looking over that way. No, it's not a Henry Ruggs jersey. No. He's going back to 2003, Mr. Foot Fungus himself, Sebastian Janikowski, with the Raiders jersey. Luckily, the Chiefs aren't playing the Raiders this week. Otherwise, we'd have some problems here.
I mean, hey, if a guy can drink beers on the sideline and kick game winners, why not?
Yeah. How long has he been out of the league?
Like 3 or 4 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
Feels like a decade.
Yeah. Look, he had, obviously, Sebastian Janikowski was a pretty damn good kicker.
The Polish leg, man.
Polish cannon or whatever, yeah.
I thought they called him Seabass.
Well, that too. He had many names.
That guy, though, I swear every few weeks there was always, well, he's questionable this week. Got some foot infection. Nasty ass Sebastian Janikowski.
Why do you relate foot problems? I never had a foot infection and you were always calling.
Because he got
them
all the time, man. Be a little cleaner, Sebastian Janikowski. And he's a Raiders player, so it's just dirty already.
I was probably walking around O.co the entire time. That's how he got it.
Yeah, no kidding. Barefoot in that locker room.
Better just bring some flip-flops to
no
that
No kidding.
Spot.
You're right. That's probably
some shower shoes.
That's probably what it is. He last kicked for the Seahawks in 2018. So, okay, Kramer. Not bad at all. But no, it'll be fun. Kramer in studio producing the show, of course, with us today. Reminder, coming up at 11:45, we'll head out to Arrowhead. We'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on 610 Sports Radio. It's Wednesday. Look, the game on Sunday night, there's still a few things that are going to linger for a while after a loss like that, considering we haven't had that many losses to discuss here in Kansas City when it comes to the Chiefs. But suddenly this game, which was already going to be a first division game against the Chargers on Sunday, it's at Arrowhead, everybody's talking about Herbert, it was already going to be a big game. But anytime you're coming off a loss, there's a little bit more stress, anxiety from a fan base heading in, because I certainly think that's how it's going to be heading in. And there's a little more pressure on the Chiefs as a whole to bounce back in a big way. And there's no player that has more pressure, I think, than Chris Jones actually heading into this game on Sunday. Now, it's not Clyde because of the fumble. It's Chris Jones because he's got to be the guy that is able to flip the switch a little bit defensively for this team.
If we're breaking it back individually, probably, yes. The problem is that very few times over the last few years has it felt like there was much weight on any particular game. Kansas City's always on some 4-game win streak, 6-game win streak. The last time they were actually kind of at the, like, you might want to start winning games and looking like the best version of yourself was when they were 6-4 in 2019. It worked out fine. Okay. It went just fine. That actually happens to be the last time they lost back-to-back games. But it feels like extra pressure on this one than I think we've had under the Patrick Mahomes era for a regular season game. I understand the pressure that comes with the postseason games. I'm not trying to put it in with that conversation. But really think about it. The 6-4 year, they were coming off of that like miserably bad defense. Yes, there was pressure to start being good, but he was still a second-year quarterback. He was having a good season, but he wasn't having the 50-touchdown, 5,000-yard season. And they looked like they were figuring some things out. And even after the back-to-back loss, it didn't feel like they were a Barry team. They were still near the top of their division. What the schedule still looks like for the final 6 weeks, or for the next 6 weeks, if you are to lose one, if you're to lose this game, then it's like, wow, how much does it put on the Bills game in a couple of weeks, right? Or how much, it just puts weight on weight on weight. And because it's another team who not only stands in your way in the AFC, right, who could be in your way, not stands in your way, could be in your way in the AFC, but also the AFC West, not exactly the life you want to live. The Broncos are likely to go 3-0 this week because their schedule stinks. Not that being down two games to the Broncos means anything, because you can make both of those up by just beating them. But it's weight on this game.
It is.
There's a lot of weight on this game.
There is, but it's the same for the Chargers here. I mean, their win this year was out in D.C. against the Washington football team. Then they fall
with
up
a quarterback
and lose.
Out for, what, 3.5 quarters?
Yeah, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then this past week they lost at home to the Dallas Cowboys on a last-second field goal.
They only scored 17 points.
So there's a lot of pressure on the Chargers as well. I mean, this is a big football game. This is a big game on Sunday at Arrowhead. But, there's the follow-up pressure for the Chiefs in a spot they haven't been in a whole lot, which, again, just were spoiled, which is coming off a loss. But also the Chargers. I mean, they can't afford to lose their first game head-to-head to Kansas City and also be looking at 1-2. Like, I mean, that's...
And then being essentially two games back you've lost to them and...
And I know the games at Arrowhead, the Chargers haven't won at Arrowhead in quite some time. I get that. I don't count week 17, sorry. I just don't. That doesn't count to me. Chad Henne was the starting quarterback, so I don't count
And
that
the
one.
Chargers' next games after the Chiefs are at home against the Raiders, a losable game. At home against the Browns, a losable game. On the road against the Ravens, a losable game, right? Like, they've got things stacked up against them, too. You're not wrong. But for Kansas City, they just don't lose two in a row, Gold. We think that sports radio or fandom was sky is falling after one road loss late that took some fluky stuff to a good Baltimore Ravens team. If they go down to the Chargers this week, and it's the same story. The defense can't stop
anybody.
Monday
will be a disaster.
It'll be bleak.
Monday will be a disaster.
Bleak in
Monday,
this city.
Monday will be a disaster at that point in time.
Again, still going to come here on Monday and be like, they're the best team in the AFC? They're clearly the team to beat? Because that might not be the story anymore.
I probably will, yeah. Yeah, because I would say then who else is it?
Not them.
Yeah, like, but who there has to be somebody else. Like, yeah. So, again, all of it has to depend on how the game goes and everything. But
clearly it'll
but
be also, the Broncos after their 3-0. Right, they will be the team to beat
in the
AFC.
That's why.
Clearly the answer. So I think they have, like, the Jets or something. No, not the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets.
Raiders got the Dolphins, I mean.
But, like, that's why I will not be having that mindset on Monday if that were to take place where the Chiefs were to lose to the Chargers, because I would say, okay, so then the Bills maybe are 2-1. I don't even know who the Bills have this week, as a matter of fact. So, I don't. It's still so early in the season, man. There's no way, unless you're 0-2, there's no must-win games in week 3 unless you're 0-2 on the season. Those 0-2 teams, it's a must-win game
Bills
for you.
Bills take on the Washington football team Taylor Heineke.
Should win, but you never know.
I would think so. They got a couple of softies. Washington and the Texans leading into the Chiefs game on the 10th. So, come on, that's as soft as you can get.
Like, this was what
after the Chiefs game, they have the Titans, Dolphins, Jags. So Dolphins, Jags is even more, especially because, I don't know, the Dolphins cannot do anything against the Bills.
This is what Patrick Mahomes had to say yesterday. He was on The Drive with Carrington, as he is each and every week, exclusively here on 610, talking about how they turn that page to the Chargers.
I don't think there's a lot that needs to be said. I mean, you can see it in the eyes of the guys in the locker room. I mean, guys are ready to go. We know how big of a game this is going to be, AFC West opponent. A team that's really good and gonna give us their best shot again. And so the guys will come in hungry and ready to go this week, and we get to go to Arrowhead, and I'm excited for that.
This team's performance on Sunday, I think not necessarily that the defense suddenly is going to flip a switch and be great, but we'll talk about this in the 11 o'clock hour. There's something has to give for both these teams. There's the struggles the Chiefs have had in the red zone. Well, guess what? The Chargers offensively have struggled in the red zone. We'll look at the numbers a little bit later on, but like that has to give one way or the other in this game. And so we'll have an interesting mindset. Is this an opportunity for the Chiefs to get a little bit of confidence defensively in the red zone? Because right now every team's scoring in the red zone, but the Chargers, they're looking for the same thing offensively. They've really struggled in the red zone to put points on the board. As good as Justin Herbert's been, they haven't been lighting up the scoreboard in the red zone themselves. So what's going to give? Which side is going to bend a little bit here?
Well, there'll be some movement in there, and the Chargers' offense has put up plenty of yards. This goes back to the same thing we would have talked about. Oh, what do you mean, having a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new system, no preseason? You're going to tell me that's going to have an impact on a team? Who knew? Who could have ever seen this coming for the Chargers? I know it means a lot to the Chargers, but every game against Kansas City, no matter who the opponent is, matters to them.
No, we saw it in the reaction with Baltimore, yes, as we talked about yesterday. I mean, that is the reaction that every team, if they're fortunate enough to beat Kansas City this year, is going to have. Absolutely.
But this is the part is that it is uncommon when the game means anything. Because if they'd beaten Baltimore, I'd have said, all right, they lost the Chargers, big deal. They've then gone on to beat the Chargers 3-0. They come into the Bills in week 5. You'd be like, what happens if they lose to the Bills? Nothing. doesn't mean anything. It means they lost to the Bills once. But because you don't want to get behind it, like we talked about yesterday, if you want to open things up in the AFC, lose this game. You want to give everyone a shot? You want to open the door for everyone? You want six teams to have a shot at the one seed right now, week 3 weeks in? We know it'll narrow itself down to four by the time week 10 or 11. But if you really want to open the door for teams, lose to the Chargers. A team that you've consistently owned, who you are a better coach than, and whose own defense is struggling, whose own offense has not worked perfectly to this stage, and are also fortunate to be 1-1. With the Chiefs, it's hard, because you can make an argument, you'd be like, they were almost 0-2. They were also almost 2-0, which is what normally happens in a situation. What happened? You were almost 2-0 against two playoff teams towards you end up. 1-1. You know, where things naturally land in that scenario. I just think there's more weight on this than I've seen for a while in a divisional game in particular. Feels like it's been a while since one of those mattered. I know last year's Raiders game, because that was a chance for the Raiders to actually have to come back within a game and definitively have the tiebreaker against the Chiefs. So that game had a little weight on it, but they weren't even coming off a loss at that stage. So it feels a little different.
The Chiefs, compared to some of these other teams, compared to the Chargers as well, we know health is always an issue for the Chargers. The Chiefs are still a fairly healthy football team. Again, heading into this game, there's a few guys that perhaps were a little limited, Frank Clark being one of them. He didn't play as many snaps as some of the other guys, and we'll see if that's something that has an uptick going forward. Tyrann Mathieu, the question heading into the game against Baltimore would be, all right, he's good to go, but is he 100% in terms of the amount of snaps? He ended up playing every single snap of that football game. So right now, when we look at his defense, how big of an impact are the limited amount of injuries or guys that are having on what the performance has been? We know Willie Gay Jr. is the one guy that's just flat out not playing.
And it'd be a nice time to have him.
And he's still out for a little bit longer. He's eligible to come back after this next week, but we'll see if he actually plays at Philly, or will they hold him back for that Bills game? I could see that actually happening.
Matt Verderam was reporting yesterday, and he's usually pretty good on the injury front, that there's a chance he could be back by Philly, but chance to be back by Philly. You're right. Why wait?
Save him for Buffalo. I think that's probably the most likely way that you can look at it. I think the bigger question besides the obvious with Willie Gay Jr. at some point when he gets back is what we saw from Frank Clark, which was a guy that was limited, which is a guy that had, what, two pressures and 25 or 26 pass rushes, which was obviously not good enough, to say the least. And I know we all have the bar for Frank Clark has been lowered so much from where things were just 2 years ago with what he was capable of doing in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But is that, along with Willie Gay Jr., limiting what we're seeing from the defense? Or is it almost, I don't want to say a non-factor, but is it going to change all that much to you? Because you know where I'm at on this. I really believe Willie Gay Jr. coming back is going to help this defense out quite a bit.
I do think it'll help.
Frank Clark being 100%, I don't know if it's really going to matter.
But he's not
much.
A solution. We thought Mathieu was the solution. But here's the thing. Mathieu's injury, right? Not injury, but the reason why he missed, in this context, the reason he missed games, still did have an impact on him on Sunday. He was reaching for air after, what, two plays? He's going for the oxygen tank, and I don't think that that's necessarily COVID-related. That could just be, are you in game shape related? Which is the reason why they said he didn't end up going in week one, remember? Like, it takes time, man. It takes time to get back up there. So, like, I think that after another week, Matthew's going to be fine. He'll be normal old Tyrann Mathieu. No weird, nothing holding him back. No change in there. Willie Gay definitively makes them better. I don't have an argument there. But this is what they look like, and injuries aren't the problem. I feel like normally when we're looking for solutions, it's like, All right, they're going to get this guy back, and it's going to solve that problem. Unless, like you said, the Frank Clark thing matters. Because the one thing we always been like, well, Jaren Reed makes Frank Clark better. Jaren Reed's best season was Frank Clark was good. So maybe Jaren Reed also needs Frank Clark. We shouldn't discount the fact that if he's healthy, he makes the other guys better hypothetically as well.
Look, we know the defense by far, and we knew heading into the season too, would be the weaker unit on the team. And that's always going to be the case with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. But we just don't know how weak is this defense truly going to be. And so far through 2 weeks, it's been dead last in multiple statistical categories. But I think we just saw what happened against the Baltimore Ravens a little bit too. And we've seen with teams across the league, you're right, the Chiefs, for the most part, are a healthy football team. Other teams like Baltimore on Sunday night had all kinds of injuries that we thought were insurmountable. And what do? They find a way to win. So that's where it's like there has to be a balance on that as well. Yes, the Chiefs defensive line has plenty of issues, and so they can't afford maybe more than some units to have other areas also on the defense struggling, which is what's occurring right now. But Baltimore's entire offensive line was pretty banged up, and the Chiefs still couldn't get pressure. So Baltimore didn't use it as an excuse on the injury front. So it's kind of that balance if we're looking at the Chiefs defense. Yes, is it a factor with Willie Gay Jr. not being out there? But other teams, we just even saw find ways to win football games still despite that. And the Chiefs were, in both cases, they were this close to being 0-2. They're also this close to being 2-0 despite everything that's happened in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's weird. And a lot of the teams, honestly, that describes pretty much the entire AFC. And that's what's kind of weird about Kansas City is that I'm not used to describing them in a grouping with everyone else. I do think the defense can get better. It's honestly, this is one of those cases where I know that Buddy Bell is rolling around thinking not in a grave. Obviously, he's very alive.
Hey, you made it sound like he's dead, man. Come on.
I corrected it before anyone thought Buddy Bell was dead.
Man.
If in this case, though, he is, you got to think, when I hear say it can't get worse, the defense can't get worse, can it? They're giving up 200 yards per game on the ground.
I mean, don't say that, but I've told you, I don't think they're going to have the worst rushing defense in football this year. No, which is what they are right now. No, I don't think they will be 32nd in rush defense.
They can't be worse. They're already the worst rushing defense in the NFL.
I don't think they're going to be 32nd in red zone defense again like they were a year ago.
Ooh, that one, I wish I was as sure as you are.
I'm not saying they're going to be 15.
That to me is just like, you have no evidence to base it on other than just like you live in Kansas City, you host in Kansas City, and you're like, oh, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, other than.
Because like history is, they played a 16-game schedule last year, and they were miserable in the red zone. They have now, in their last 18 games, remained dead last in red zone defense. They haven't improved ever. They've always been dead last. That's a long stretch of time to be dead last at something.
Yeah, what I also have, besides you saying I'm a host in Kansas City, is that I have Steve Spagnuolo, who's won a couple championships, Andy Reid, who's won a championship. They have a good coaching staff.
Reid doesn't care about the defense. We know that, right? I thought we all agreed to that. Do we not agree to that? Andy Reid has nothing to do with the defense and doesn't care about it. Like, Andy doesn't care about the defense. Andy's not out here trying to solve problems on the defense.
I just mentioned Spags as well. Like, I'm convinced that they have a good enough coaching staff that no, they're not just, this is not just going to be what it is all year.
But why didn't the coaching staff fix it last year?
Well, right now, I mean, it goes back to what we just said with Willie Gay. Like, they haven't had their full arsenal to even utilize. Again, I'm not trying to tell you the defense suddenly is going to vault up to a number 12 defense in football. But instead of 32, can I get to 23?
Can I get there?
Like, that's what I'm thinking they're still capable of. I know this is what we do, and this is also what fans do, but we are 2 weeks into the season.
I know, but red zone defense is not a two-week problem. It's an 18-20 game problem in my mind. Like, I understand that, like, every season is its individual, but because of the amount of carryover from the team's roster the year before, it just, like, it gets hard to look at and be like, how is this not consistent? In 2019, they were 10th. Remember, they gave up all those yards. Steve Spagnuolo was the defensive coordinator there, and to your point, all those yards, it wouldn't matter. It was the opposite, right? Last year, they didn't give up the most yards in the NFL. It wasn't like that at all. They just were bad in the red zone. But this is now the third consecutive year that they're starting. They were 53% of red zone defensive scoring 2 years ago, dead last, at almost 75% last year, and they've given up 100% so far this year. I don't think it'll be 100%. The dead last team is usually somewhere between 70 and 75%, and they're usually bad teams. That's the real concern. It's just the amount of time that they seemingly are still not good at it. You're right. You are right. It is two games. A 2-0 team also has given up 100% of their red zone touchdowns, by the way. The Raiders and the Green Bay Packers have given up 100%. And the Panthers, who are 2-0,
It's all because the Chiefs lost on Sunday. Otherwise,
I would have still talked about the red zone defense if they had won.
We'd still be talking about it, but it'd just be a completely different narrative around it. Like, they'd be 2-0 and would have beat two AFC contenders, including one on the road. And we'd say, like, yeah, this defense, this is going to be a lot slimmer margin, but they, guess what? They still found a way to win a football game. That's why it's a little bit more, I'm with you on the red zone defense, but just in general, that's why there's more angst kind of going on with it now, because of what occurred on Sunday night in terms of in the loss column.
And I think, yes, absolutely. Everything's magnified based on that, especially for, as we'd pointed out, a team that doesn't lose very much. And again, if you just look at the percentages this year, do you really believe in some of the teams who are where they are now? The Jets are third. They're only 28% of red zone touchdowns. Do we think that's lasting? No. No, of course not. Denver's fifth. Do I think that's going to go the entire season? No. Dallas is in the top 10. That's not a team that's looked particularly good. Even adept at defense. They had the league's worst defense in the NFL last year. I'd just like to see some improvement. I think the injuries have played a factor. I do think that Matthew not being there in week one, maybe they don't give up 100% of them, right? And then Willie Gay, these games in particular would have been very good for him. They're unfortunately missing him at an important time where speed on defense matters more to them, and they just don't have it on the field right now. I'm hopeful that the red zone defense to be better than – I think it'll be better than 100%. I would just like it to be better than it was last year.
Over on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610, someone says, Gold, what's the update on the Chipotle smoked brisket from yesterday? I'll have a review on that a little bit later on. I did try
that.
Oh,
that's true. You did try that.
Right after the show.
Good tease. Yeah. When's the review coming?
I don't know. I will say, are we already screwing up the new airport?
Why?
Because I just saw something from Dave Helling over at the KC Star. He says, Chick-fil-A is out at new KCI. Because they're like going through the whole bidding process, blind bidding, I think, or something, how they're awarding this stuff. Does he say out as in they're not, like out as in, like out as in they're not going to be at the airport? We're already screwing up the new airport. You got to have the Chick-fil-A. Got to have the Chick-fil-A at the new airport. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
I don't know. It just says Vantage Airport Group says Chick-fil-A has been removed from the proposal.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Did Chick-fil-A not want in, or did the airport?
Come on now. The good airport's got the Chick-fil-A. The good airport's got the Chick-fil-A. The longest.
There's other food choices.
It's usually the longest line out there. Give me the Chick-fil-A in the new airport. What are we doing here?
It's like, a Burger King there, and that's it?
The current airport, there's nothing. It's just a sad, lonely, desolate hellscape.
I was going to talk about it later. I feel like the current KCI is just thrown in the towel. Like, I find out Saturday afternoon, and it's 2:30 in the afternoon, and inside the security area at the Southwest Terminal, there was a Stella Artois bar that was closed, and not that I wanted it, but the Pizza Hut stand was closed. Like, what are we doing? It's the middle of Saturday afternoon. It's throwing the towel.
You know, they even have Pizza Hut stand there.
It's throwing in the towel. Let's get to 2020.
We're waiting on the new airport.
Let's just get to 2023. And now there's not going to be a Chick-fil-A, you know?
Okay. I think I'll be fine. Right. Well, what do you think? There's not going to be a chicken option to you? This is a big, fancy airport. It's going to be a lot of choices.
What other chicken option do you want?
I don't care. It could be Zaxby's. It's all the same.
That's not the same.
No, it's not. That's a terrible take. Right,
come on now. Come on.
It's coming from a guy that worked at Chick-fil-A for 4 years.
You worked at Chick-fil-A?
I made Patrick Mahomes' sandwiches rookie year.
Was it your pleasure all the time? Huh?
I mean, I worked in the back, so I didn't really say it that much.
Okay. I'm just saying. Just point
there
out.
Are comparable chicken sandwiches to Chick-fil-A. Let's not blow this out of proportion.
Name one.
Popeyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, it's not.
How many have you had?
It's not the same, man.
I had all the chickens.
Popeyes is in with KFC and churches and those places. Chick-fil-A is Chick-fil-A. It's its own thing.
Look, I'm not trying to like lump it in with like the McDonald's
fried
chicken sandwich.
It's
okay?
Not like fried chicken. I'm not ordering a 20-piece dark at Chick-fil-A.
No, but you can get a chicken sandwich at Popeyes. It's good.
Yeah, we
and
know,
you can get a 20-piece dark. What's not to like about Popeyes? What's the thing you get at Chick-fil-A besides the chicken sandwich?
I like Popeyes, but it's not the same as Chick-fil-A, man.
Go to Chick-fil-A, ask for that grilled spicy. Oh, it'll change your life.
It's not the same, man.
I think there's plenty of...
Someone says they got to know about Chipotle before launch. They're about to order it. I will say that. I'll just tell you this. You do have to order it through the app, the smoked brisket, if you're going to try it. I know we live in Kansas City.
Would you at least suggest this gentleman try it before you give your full review?
I probably won't order it again only because, like we talked about yesterday... We live in Kansas City. I can get smoked brisket from 20 other places and legit. But I was surprised, pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
With the Chick-fil-A smoked brisket yesterday in the bowl. It was a brand new item, you know?
I think that's a good enough endorsement for that gentleman to give it a shot for lunch. That's all that matters. I think it's a good enough endorsement to do that. There are plenty of good chicken options. The new airport's not ruined because Chick-fil-A's not.
It's not off to a good start, okay?
The new airport's just ruined in general.
No, the new airport's going to be great.
Nice.
The new airport's going to be great, but I'm just like, if these are the decisions we're making here, let's step back a little bit. Let's reevaluate. Let's get them back in the proposal. Let's figure this out. Let's make sure also, like, I love all the barbecue in Kansas City, but Let's also make sure we get the right ones in the airport,
That's
please.
That's not how this is going to go.
Let's make sure we get the right ones go in there.
You look at corporate sponsorship. I'm not going to name names. You look at corporate sponsorship around this city. You tell
I'm
me
I'm just
which,
telling you. If, you there's tell a damn fa- if there's a damn famous Dave's barbecue in the Kansas City airport, I will lose my mind. I will lose my mind. That can't be the one. Coming up next, it's Cody's Corner, where he tells us who also bears some blame for the defense.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He'll cut in line at the grocery store. He's cut in front of his own kids at the snow cone stand for the last mango pineapple. And now he's demanding his own segment. Here's Cody's Corner.
My time! Cody's Corner. By the way, if Jay Binkley ever fills in for me, I'd like him to Binkley's Basement.
Binkley's Basement.
Only when he's filled in with filling it for me. Binkley's Basement. He can do that the next time he fills
you know
in for me.
How smelly that would be?
It's Binkley's Basement.
What's Kramer's? What's Kramer's? Kramer's what?
Ooh, couch.
That doesn't work.
Sure it does. Kramer's couch.
I couldn't even tell you what. I can't think
of anything.
Doesn't
have to start with a K. It's the sound it makes. Couch.
Kramer's Simulations. It's always what I do.
Tracks. Kramer's Simulations. That just sounds like he's in Westworld. Either way, I have a take to get off. We do these on Thursdays, where one of us has to do it. And I know that we've talked a lot about the defense, and I'm sure that you keep wanting to talk about the defense because it's frustrating. Plus, the offense is great. I don't know what else you can tell you. The offense is still great. They are still really great there. That's why they'll continue to be a great team in the NFL. When I hear people say they're a good team still, it like gives me the shivers a bit, knowing that that's the case. But there's somebody else who bears a little bit of the blame. We have spent time talking about the missed tackles from Daniel Sorensen. We have taken time talking about the pass rush in the first 2 weeks and where it has failed in certain areas. Doesn't Brett Veach get some of this for the defense he put on the field? This is not a draft-related conversation. I guess it is to a point because some of those players are drafted. But he is the person who configured this defense the way that it sits. Similar to how we blamed Dayton Moore for going back after players that he trusts, right? Oh, look, it's me. I brought back Greg Holland. Oh, I brought back Wade Davis. It's Mike Minor. It's Irvin Santana. You're like, yeah, you had all these players once on your team. And the team sometimes was good. 6 years ago, sometimes wasn't good at all. Why are we bringing back this retread? That's kind of what the defense is to a point. It is a retread in Anthony Hitchens. They never decided to move on or find a different way to like get finances in order to make a different decision. It's Neiman, it's Sorensen, and it's the same guys getting playing time over and over and over again. The corners are really the only place where they made significant change in the offseason, and they're not good. And they weren't good last year. And they said they were going to spend the entire offseason trying to fix it, and they didn't. The one caveat I would put in place of this is we desperately wanted them to fix the offensive line. It was clearly their biggest issue, so a lot of their resources went there. But as a result of that, the defense is still not good again.
Yeah, and so that's why I don't – what you just said right there, the
He's
last part.
He's only supposed to fix one part of the field?
Well, no, but this is a team that won 14 games a year ago. Yeah. This is a team that lost, as we all know, in the Super Bowl, and – as far as two games into the season, no question the defense has been a completely complete mess and a complete disappointment to this point in time. But they went out and did revamp the entire offensive line. There are still limitations. Like, other than the one guy, you know, I would have liked them to sign in the offseason defensively, if we're being realistic and not just naming some top player that we know they had no chance of signing, would have been Melvin Ingram, and he's looking pretty good for the Steelers. Although, again, they have T.J. Watt on the other side. It makes anybody look pretty damn good, I would imagine. I bet you Frank Clark would have looked really good if they had T.J. Watt on the other side. That's where Chris Jones has to step up more. So that's fine. But overall, does he bear some of the blame? I guess if you're really searching and say that the defense that's been assembled, but it's two games into the season, and I would ask you again, where were they supposed to go out and ship? Who did you want them to go out and sign while also spending X amount of money on Joe Tooney, while also using draft capital and their first round pick to go find a left tackle of the future, who looks pretty damn good right now, doesn't he? And the center, that's another 5-year answer, and a right guard, that's probably a 5-year answer, and a right tackle, that might be a 5-year answer. I would just ask you, like, where financially did you think they would have to go out and spend to improve the defense?
Okay, but some of their financial issues are their fault. Like, that's also Brett Veach's fault that Frank Clark makes $25.8 million this year.
Yeah, and they won a Super Bowl in part because of him.
And Anthony Hitchens is not a bad contract now, highest paid inside linebacker in the NFL at almost $11 million this year. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, he also bears some of the weight on that.
And
like,
Anthony Hitchens was coming off his best money. Year in a Chiefs uniform last year. And Anthony Hitchens probably will not be on this team next year. We know that. And that's why I know you don't like that they drafted linebackers. You and I disagree on that.
No, I dislike it in general.
I have no problem because, to me, next year, Willie Gay and Nick Bolton will be two of your starting linebackers, and you'll have them very cheap for multiple years, and we won't be having this conversation about spending money at the linebacker spot. That's why you don't draft it.
I will if they're not good.
Or that's why you don't go and sign free agencies. Sure. Linebackers.
Yeah, but they've tried to, like, but the draft picks have to work for that to happen. Like, I mean, you know, Bolton and Gay have to work out for us to not be like they need to spend money at linebacker. That's the caveat going forward.
Sure, I would be stunned if they're both not the starting two linebackers next year.
Yeah, but are they good? Like, they're definitely going to be the starters. They got starters now that I don't think are good. Like, to me, it's like, I'm not saying, like, this is all on him. There's every facet of this, right? And inevitably, I think it was Tyrann Mathieu on Twitter yesterday talking to players. Like, somebody was giving Spags a hard time, or just someone on Twitter. And he was like, hey, don't put that on him. We're the players. The scheme is good. We're the ones not executing it. I know in the end, if you're saying, hey, Cody, assign blame, the players who play bear more blame than anybody.
Yeah, I just think it's crazy. 2 weeks into the season, we want to blame the general manager. Because not just you, I'm going to say you've said it.
I'm and not some blaming of us, him solely.
And some others have as well. It's funny to me, though, when we talk, when we have draft-related conversations or anything like that, we say, well, Andy Reid gets, it's really Andy Reid making the shots. But now...
On the draft, I don't say that.
But when it's deciding about players, now you've said something similar to that before about the thought process that... Overall, like Andy Reid, we've talked about extensions and others, and how Andy Reid claims to be hands off. And you've told me, Gold, you don't actually think he's not involved.
I think he's involved, okay. But I think Brett Veach. I don't think it's final say.
But now, when it's a personnel decision on the defense, everybody wants to act like Brett Veach is the guy in charge. So, like, let's make sure on both ends when things are going well as well that it's not just that's actually Andy made some of those decisions as well. Now that there's some issues potentially personnel wise on the defense, we want to act as if Brett Veach is completely in charge. So let's just be balanced about it.
That's fair. I don't think that, like, for instance, I don't think that Juan Thornhill not playing enough is Brett Veach's fault. Brett Veach put Juan Thornhill on the roster. Juan Thornhill is available player to play. They choose to play Dan Sorensen 100% of the snaps instead. That is not a Brett Veach thing. That has never been a Brett Veach thing. But he did still keep Sorensen on the roster. Like, it's not, and I know that they had limitations.
Yeah, the issue is not Sorensen being on the roster. He'd be fine on the roster. It's that he's getting as much playing time as he has over Juan Thornhill. Well, Dan Sorensen as a guy on your roster is not a problem.
No, it's not. It's the amount.
And again, that's
it
not.
It is a little. It depends, because Dan Sorensen has been a wildly inconsistent player. Wildly, he is good in clutch moments. He is not very good anywhere else, statistically speaking.
I mean, if you want to, he's never been a good. He shouldn't be playing as much as he has. Again, that's a coaching thing, not a general manager problem.
The other stuff is that, like, so, like, okay, what's the biggest problem with the defense? They don't get any pass rush and they can't tackle. Okay, well, they've got a lot of resources in the front seven, and that is Brett Veach's job. He's got $200 million on the defensive line. He signed Jaron Reed to go with it. He's got 2 second-round picks in linebacker. He has two. He's got day one or two picks. He's got 2 third-round picks, a defensive line right now on there not producing. Like, I mean, you put this, there's no rotation that's making a difference there. There's no amount of mismatching linebackers or defensive linemen that solve that problem. It is certainly not his weight to bear alone. That's crazy. And he's obviously got a Super Bowl, so he can just say, you know, shut up.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm in back-to-back Super Bowl, so shut up. It doesn't matter. They allocated the resources on offense, and if you made me do it again, you said, could you think of a bad defense or we can fix the offensive line? I'd have chosen to fix the offensive line. So I am in support of that part of the decision, but they have not found all the diamonds in the rough or whatever, not getting the production out of the guys they pay right now. The three highest paid players on defense, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Anthony Hitchens, have got to carry some weight, and only one guy right now even seems capable of it.
Yeah, I mean, the players
That's
have to
Jones.
Make Chris Jones, while he made the play against Cleveland that ultimately helped him win the game, right? I mean, that he stepped up in big moments.
Absolutely.
He, along with everybody else on the defense, did not step up and make the play. Chris Jones, I think it was Pete Sweeney yesterday, and Pete will join us on Friday from Arrowhead Pride. He talked about Chris Jones, and we kind of joke about the Defensive Player of the Year stuff. I mean, I'm serious about it. It doesn't look good now. The Defensive Player of the Year, but like Chris Jones, if you want to be actually a guy that's truly talked about as Defensive Player of the Year, he has to go out and make plays in those big moments. Like,
their five highest paid players are on the defense, and it's bad.
Absolutely. And the guys have to step up and play. The Frank Clark conversation, I'm not going to try to defend Frank Clark. He's, at this point, we know, unfortunately, what he's going to be. We'll get surprised one or two games this year. He'll have a good game, and then he'll go back in a cave for a little bit. That's unfortunately where we're at with Frank Clark at this point.
I'll just take postseason, Frank. He can sit the rest of the year.
I am... Not saying that you can never blame Brett Veach for anything, but if we're going to talk about how all these different areas, let's also not forget, you said they never can find any diamonds in the rough. There's a guy that's their number one corner on the team that was picked in the middle of the draft last year in L'Jarius Sneed. So the idea that they haven't been able to find diamonds in the rough on defense is just
false. I was speaking of free agency a little bit more than that. Okay. I apologize, but I was speaking more in the free agency end. But that's just one. Like, I know you're like, well, find more. You're like, all right, well, you've had... Like, I've told you before, Brett Veach is a significantly better drafter rounds 4 through 7 than he is 1 through 3. And I'm not sure that's a good thing. I'm glad he's a good drafter 4 through 7. Good, cheap players available. They got their starting right guard right now, Trey Smith, 6th rounder. They got their starting corner right now, L'Jarius Sneed, 4th rounder. Are you planning on getting anybody you could really reasonably rely on all the time in the first 3 rounds defensively? Like, and I get it, you could be like, well, the linebackers are going to start. Okay, I'd like to see them produce. Neither have produced yet.
Now, Willie Gay has to get healthy. He's got to get healthy and to be available, which was a problem last year. And so far, 2 games, 3, soon to be 3, maybe 4 games.
And I don't think that's the kind of injury that's not going to linger, because it's a turf toe related injury. We know that those things linger. But, it's not that they've won a Super Bowl. He's obviously a good general manager. If you made me rank out all the general manager things at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to laugh at some of this.
It's not like I'm saying, like, I think when we criticize someone, it means I think he's bad at his job. Because, well, he must know more than me. You know, he's the general manager of the team. General managers make bad decisions. I've sat in conversations with general managers where you've questioned decisions they've made before they've gone bad. They're like, screw you.
So
it's the right decision. I know it's the right decision, and they're wrong.
So do you already think signing Jaren Reed was a mistake? Is that what you're saying? I mean, we're 2 games into the season.
No, I do not.
He needs to step up. He's been non-existent. I'm not defending Jaren Reed, but we're 2 games into the season. I'm not ready to say the offseason acquisition of Jaren Reed was a terrible decision. No, not 2 games into the season.
I'm not there yet either. But if you say 4 of their top 5 highest paid players on the entire damn team are on defense, and you're the worst defense, you signed them all. That's your money. You put that out. That doesn't even include Jaren Reed, by the way. If it's Jaren Reed, it's 5 of 8. Because the next 2 highest paid players of the top 5 are Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. I think you're getting money's worth there. Feel pretty good. If you told me 4 of the highest 5 paid players were on, like, I'd be like, yeah, or were on the offense, I'd be like, yeah, that tracks. And that's a cap hit this year. We know their biggest contracts. We know that Tooney's a big contract, Mahomes' contract, Kelce's contract, Hill's contract. All those numbers are getting ready to go up. But just based on cap hits this year, the way you've structured it, to me, that proves that you couldn't restructure it in a way because they're not players you're looking to extend. That, like, those cap hits tell you that they're players that you have questions about. Frank Clark is your highest cap hit. Anthony Hitchens is your 4th highest team cap hit this year. And then Tyrann Mathieu, just because he hasn't gotten a deal done. He's obviously compensated fairly. I don't have any complaints about the compensation Tyrann Mathieu makes. But it's just when you start stacking up the percentages, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, Anthony Hitchens, and Chris Jones, who are 4 of the highest 5 paid players, again, on this team, make a combined $40, $50, $60 million. They make up 40% of this team's cap. I mean, you need better and that is a Brett
Chris Jones. Every single guy on defense has to play.
Brett Veach related things.
Every single guy on defense has to play drastically better. Like the Frank Clark,
Chris Jones had a good first week.
The numbers you bring up though, like those were the case. I mean, especially at least with the Frank Clark deal in particular, that was the case. Other than the Chris Jones extension last offseason, the Tyrann Mathieu numbers, the Frank Clark numbers, that was the case. The year they won the Super Bowl as well, just in terms of the contracts already existed.
They just had
existed.
Their moments.
They stepped up. Right now, the production just hasn't been there. Frank Clark, I don't even, like, we know where we're at on the Frank Clark situation. Him and Anthony Hitchens are likely two contracts that are going to fall off at the end of the season. That's unfortunately something they did have to navigate
The year they won the Super Bowl, their five highest cap hits were Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, LDT, Eric Fisher, and Frank Clark. One defensive player.
Like, but it's the same contract, is what I'm saying. Like, sure. It's the same contract. These guys, the numbers just eventually the numbers were gonna hit.
But that's the problem. Like, that's where Brett Veach bears some blame. Like, with the general manager, you can't just look at it in a 1 year situation. Like, oh, they're not playing a good enough scheme. They're not playing Thornhill enough. It's 3 years. It's the foresight 2 years ago to know those numbers were coming. You paid maybe the wrong people sometimes. Not all the time. Like, I don't think that they're wrong for paying Tyrann Mathieu or wrong for paying Chris Jones.
Who should they not have? Who should they? I mean,
Hitchens. They should have never given him that contract, and they shouldn't have reworked it to save their own ass. They haven't gotten enough production out of Hitchens to save themselves.
No, but you said to rework the contract to save their ass. They probably had it. The contract at the beginning maybe shouldn't be given out. But they did it
to win the Super Bowl.
I have no issue with them reworking it because they're not able to keep and retain some of the guys. They don't rework the contract.
And that's fine. So.
I'm not saying he's been perfect by any means as general manager for the Chiefs, but it's just two weeks into the season, I don't think is the time to start saying, my goodness, they've made disastrous decisions defensively. It's ridiculous.
Maybe the conversation should be they have made bad decisions, though. Maybe the conversation is different. The conversation is simple. Because they won the Super Bowl and the decisions they made in there, paying Frank Clark, paying Anthony Hitchens, reworking his deal because he's stuck under there, who cares? But that's the price you paid. So let's just be fine with a miserable defense because it's awful. It's bad right now. It's shown no signs of being good. I hope that changes, but as of right now, this defense looks very bad. That was the price to pay for the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So we just accept a terrible defense and hope they win a different way. Like, that's really the way to look at it. Brett Veach accepts that fate. I can accept that fate knowing that they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but that still means he bears some responsibility for how it looks. He's just willing to pay the price. The price was the Super Bowl 2 years ago, so what? The price was going back-to-back Super Bowls over the last 2 years. Cool. All right, it's an awful defense this year. Brett Veach knows that.
I just think it'll be funny. I mean, if this team wins 14 games in the regular season and we're going to say he bears responsibility. Okay, yeah, he bears responsibility for another 14-win team. Oh, boy. Shucks, what a terrible job.
I'm not saying...
Bears responsibility for another team that won 14 games and went deep in the playoffs and maybe gets to another Super Bowl.
He probably doesn't even lose sleep over it. But if it's the defense that cost them another Super Bowl, because we've talked about, too, how much it matters to get multiple Super Bowls... Under the Patrick Mahomes era.
I think there's a fair point on the text line. It's actually a good one as well. 913-576-7610. Let's not forget, now every team had to deal with this, but they also, to your point about you got to plan years in advance, I agree with you, but the pandemic does throw a wrench in everybody's plans a little bit with the salary cap not going up. I think let's keep that in mind when we consider why they maybe didn't do certain things this past offseason. Now, every team had to deal with it, but the Chiefs have been up against the cap for quite some time. This is going to be the way it's going to be for a while.
Teams will be up against the cap. Every decision is not going to be the right one. I'm certainly not saying that. I've already told you, I think Brett Veach is a top five GM in the league, but part of their defensive struggles are on him. He doesn't get to just like coast. It's not just Spags didn't put the scheme together right and they play Ben Demon too much. There's some part of he put that roster together.
We'll talk more about this with Josh Klingler, our Chiefs sideline reporter, of course, for the Chiefs Radio Network. And of course, from Fesco in the Morning, he's going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. We're at the point, though, already where it's funny because it is 2 weeks, as we just discussed in the season. But there's some teams that actually do have must-win games, those that are 0-2 and all that. But there's also a handful of teams that are 2-0, and the numbers just flat out tell you have a 60% chance of making the playoffs once you get to 2-0 to start a season. And those teams are...
Kramer wears his Janikowski Raiders jersey.
The Broncos and the Raiders in the AFC, and then it's the Carolina Panthers and Arizona Cardinals in the NFC. Those are the four teams that are 2-0. They all four have a 60% chance over the last five seasons.
So about half of these.
60%
teams.
Chance of making the playoffs. To further it out, 26 of 43 teams who have started 2-0 went on to make the playoffs. So
they just win, baby.
5 years is a decent sample size. Starting in the AFC, The numbers would tell you that one of those teams, I know we have our perception on these teams that have a history of falling off after strong starts, particularly your Raiders, Kramer.
They have an incredibly rich history of that in the John Gruden era.
We'll just say with the four teams, who actually, let's say the two, who are the Cardinals. Two that make it?
It's got to be the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are the best team. They're the best team
toughest
in
division.
The best division. That's what's tricky about them.
But
can they do enough
spot?
To be in the wild card? Yeah, can the Cardinals be a wild card team? Because they're in a division where Seattle is very good. We know the Rams are very good.
Although the Rams have started 2-0 every year for like 3 or 4 years in a row. Doesn't always mean they win the division.
And the 49ers are obviously look to be a very good football team as well. It is the toughest division. It's one of the best coach divisions in all the football as well. Yeah, Arizona's the best team of the bunch, but in a weird way, there's an easier path for Carolina to get in there. And Carolina gets the Texans tomorrow night against Davis Mills, a guy that was just drafted a rookie quarterback on a short week. Panthers are 2-0. I know they haven't beat anybody, but their schedule's very soft. That's what happens. Same with the Broncos. I mean, that's the trend for Carolina and Denver. They both have very soft schedules right now and haven't been flashy or looking great, but they found ways to win football games. Out of the bunch, if you told me who would make it, I think actually the Carolina Panthers are going to be a wild card team in the NFC this year.
Nah. It's the Cardinals and it's the Raiders. And I can't believe I'm saying the Raiders. But they got a soft-ish schedule. They get a banged-up Dolphins team this week. They still have the Broncos on their schedule twice, a team I do not believe in. The Bears and the Eagles on their schedule. The Giants on their schedule. The Bengals on their schedule.
Right,
a not very good Cowboys team on their schedule. Like, they're going to get wins. The Raiders are going to go to the postseason this year. It's a wild card team. I don't think they're a threat because I don't think whatever version, like Derek Carr has like 3 or 4 game stretches where he looks like a superhuman. It is Cinderella at midnight. It's going to turn to a pumpkin and you know it. And you should just accept your fate in that scenario. I'm watching too much probably princess stuff with my kid.
Yeah, are you watching at home right now, man?
Exactly.
Cinderella?
We all are. We all understand Cinderella? The turn into a pumpkin Cinderella reference.
Yeah, are you watching Cinderella though?
Sometimes,
right
yeah.
Now,
my
recently?
Kid likes princesses. She also likes superheroes.
Is Cruella de Vil next?
We have not watched that. I think
that
one's going to scare.
The new one?
She woke up
the live action one or whatever.
She woke up last night and said she got scared because she happened like we had like a sports game on and the Venom trailer was on and it scared. She's like, I'm scared of Venom. That's what she said at 4:30 this morning. I'm like, okay, well, I can't show you something that's too scary, obviously. So I'll probably pass on Cruella for a bit.
What sports game did you have on?
It was like the Royals game. I don't remember what it was, but it was like the Royals game on or whatever. But like the Venom trailer aired during television time, and of course that's what scared her at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm gonna pass on Cruella. But it's the Cardinals because they're the best team, and it's the Raiders in the AFC because they got a soft schedule. They don't play that many difficult teams. I think they'll find a way to actually make the postseason. I just don't think it'd make a difference. There is no reason at all to believe in the Broncos.
No.
They have played the softest schedule.
Teddy Bridgewater he's protected the football. That's why they were winning. Like, he's not making the mistakes, which is what Vic Fangio selected him over Drew Lock for. But Teddy Bridgewater hasn't been in a position yet where he has to go and win a game, right? And that's where they'll have problems. He's protecting the ball. Give him credit. He's protecting the ball. He's not making mistakes. Yeah. He's keeping his team in the game, and they got a really good defense. Now, Bradley Chubb's got an ankle injury, so something to watch there, as he can't stay healthy for the Broncos. But that Broncos team, at this point in time, they found ways to win games.
Honestly, the Panthers are going to probably start 3-0, and I think once you're 3-0, you have like a 75% chance to make the postseason. It takes a huge jump.
The Panthers are going
to
be a wild
card
team.
But how am I supposed to believe into the Panthers? They really beat down the Saints.
Sam Darnold, baby.
Oh, God, get out of here.
Matt Rule.
Which part of Sam Darnold are we counting?
Christian McCaffrey.
Are we counting
Robbie Anderson?
He's pacing for 5,000 yards or the fact he's pacing for 24 touchdowns? Which part of Sam Darnold are you buying into?
You told me he was garbage, and I said
they barely beat the Jets.
Yeah, but Sam Darnold, we'll talk about this during all
it's
32. Sam Darnold, he looks better than he did in New York.
What a ringing endorsement.
It is quite the endorsement based on what he was dealing with. He is a competent head coach. Imagine that. You have competent head coaches, you might play a little bit better.
I know. I'd have to go through Sam Darnold's entire history, but I think it's the Raiders, and I think it's the Cardinals. Do you think more than two?
Panthers and Raiders. Arizona is going to be in. Arizona almost needs a 5-0 start. You know what I mean? Because
just
of the division that they're in. They need to get out in front of it based off of that division.
The one thing I will say is I don't believe in their head coach. But I definitely don't believe
questionable decisions still at times.
I don't believe at all in the Raiders or the Broncos head coach either. I don't believe in John Gruden. What has he ever proven?
Kyler Murray's
been good.
He's
Jeff Fisher with the Super Bowl.
The Cardinals have such a tough schedule. Can Kyler Murray stay healthy throughout much of the season? Last year he was great. Last year he was getting talked about as an MVP. He's getting talked about as an MVP again this year in the early part. He's down to, I think, 7-1, 8-1.
The Cardinals get the Jags this week. They will be starting 3-0.
Good.
After that, Rams, Niners,
toss
Browns.
Toss-ups.
Lay up against the Texans. Packers, Niners, Panthers,
that's
Seahawks.
Issue. That's
my
their
God.
Issue. They're going to earn
the
it.
The Cardinals schedule.
It.
Brutal.
Coming up next, Chiefs sideline reporter Josh Klingler stops by. We'll ask him if he believes this Chiefs defense now is what it will be all season long.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.